Hey, it's Drex from This Week Health Cyber and Risk Community, and I want to invite you to our next webinar. It's going to focus on what else? Defending health data. I'll be chatting with experts from Rubrik and Microsoft. Register right now at thisweekhealth.com/rubrikwebinar. That's all one string, R-U-B-R-I-K webinar, thisweekhealth.com/rubrikwebinar. See you online soon.
Today on Newsday.
Just having your name on a booth, that's not enough. You have to be able to clearly and succinctly state, here's the problem we're solving. This is a great action statement for us.
My name is Bill Russell. I'm a former CIO for a 16-hospital system and creator of This Week Health, where we are dedicated to transforming healthcare one connection at a time. Newsday discusses the breaking news in healthcare with industry experts. And we want to give a big thanks to our Newsday partners, ClearSense, HealthLink Advisors, Order, SureTest, and TauSight. Now, let's jump right in.
Yes.
All right. We're actually recording a Newsday at 5, but this is airing the week of HIMSS. So it's the first day of HIMSS.
It's very confusing.
It is a little bit confusing. Drex Ford, all things security, privacy, and risk. Samuel Hill, marketing, super genius. Okay, can we change your title? Head of marketing for This Week Health. Marketing super genius sounds good.
I've been called a lot of things.
Not super genius.
Not super genius.
And obviously Bill Russell here. Here's what we're going to do. Because if we talk about the news, it's going to be old news.
Right.
We could talk about Change Healthcare, but you know,
there's
hopefully
going to be a lot of things
of a love. Hopefully this has been taken care of by HIMSS.
Yeah.
Right now, what I'm hearing is the Change stuff will be back up within 48 hours of when we're talking right now, which is Wednesday of live week. And man, that's going to be so welcome. Are these CIOs, they're just stepping out of the meetings.
For sure. Getting pulled into calls, doing updates, getting updates. There's a lot of sort of back channel conversations around how and what they should be doing to make that reconnection a reality. And different organizations, from a risk perspective, different organizations are in different places, and some are going to connect earlier than others.
I want to bring this into Samuel's world.
Yeah.
One of the things I want to talk to you about is communication. So if you are a CIO who's been hacked, or your Change Healthcare who's been hacked, transparency is obviously important within reason, right? You
right,
want to
right.
share it to the right community. That's one of the areas that these people get in big trouble is
right.
they're like, oh man, let's not tell people because we don't know.
Right.
You almost just start communicating early in office. We don't know, but everything we know, you're going to know. So
yeah.
talk a little bit about that. And Samuel, I want you to add some color to this.
Yeah, I think what you saw with the Change Healthcare breach was that on the site, every couple of hours, there was an update. And it may have been exactly the same update that was published 2 hours ago, but you could always go and look and see if there was new information. So just like health systems have downtime procedures, and part of that is usually some kind of a war room call that goes on with lots of different people, often including the operations folks, clinical research, business operations folks, who can come onto the line and you just say, every 30 minutes or every hour, we're going to do an update and tell you where we're at. That's different than sort of the public conversation, but it's the same kind of experience. It's the same kind of like practice that you would do if you had a public breach.
How would you do it to the public?
It's obviously two different communities you have to worry about here, right? You have your dependent partners that are working with you that are a part of your business model. You communicate with them, like Drex was saying, frequently, give them regular updates, and you're sharing the details.
But don't you know it's going to get out, right?
Well, absolutely.
So we're all at a conference, and I started reading things like, unnamed source from a health system said they had a meeting today and this is what they said. So you know that's going to get out.
Yeah. And I think with the public side, unfortunately, we've all seen this play out way too many times now. Companies that are having to make public statement after public statement because of a cybersecurity incident. And I'm a big fan of share as many details as possible. So you honestly treat the public, but you're not giving the full nitty gritty like you would to your partners, but you gotta give them a lot of detail. Cause honestly, half the time as a consumer, as the public, when I read a story about this and I see some other statements, you write it off and you say, whatever.
I think one of the things the public doesn't understand is it's a crime scene. And so sometimes it's essentially the FBI is telling you, no.
Don't say these things.
Yeah.
And lawyers get involved. Like immediately lawyers. There's liability. Of course, there are going to be lawsuits. There undoubtedly will be class action lawsuits.
Yep.
Every breach now, it's like they light up nearly immediately. So there's lawyers involved and they want a scripted response. That's why if you're going to do something in writing, you do it on the website. It goes probably through some kind of a review process and then it goes up. When it's your internal customers, you can be much more open and complete and take questions and not probably have the same fear that it's going to be copied and sent somewhere else.
Yeah. So if it was possible, I was overshadowed at Vive by security and risk was a
primary conversation. In fact, we're right next to the main stage, so I don't know if people are hearing all this stuff, but I heard him mention the word AI. And I'm curious, I'm going to be more open-ended with this question. I'm going to come back to AI. What was the most interesting conversation you've had at Vive? And again, we're talking on Wednesday morning, so most of the conversations are done. This is a fairly dead thread by the last day.
Man, one of the most interesting conversations that I probably had was the reality that folks are coming up to us, tapping us on the shoulder, and telling us stuff about how their products work. And the way that they're talking about their products here, at least, feels a little different because we had this conversation yesterday on Newsday, but folks are talking to us about it sort of in the construct of here's how we're working with our clinical business or research partners, do things with them and not to them. The feels like the sales pitch is evolving for a lot of these companies. And maybe it's because there's a lot of early stage companies here, a lot of startup companies, a lot of founders who kind of were in those trenches. And so they come at it from a different way, but it's been refreshing and interesting to kind of hear that, some of those stories.
Samuel?
I mean, I think it's fascinating. Like a lot of the topics that have been slideware, like topics for strategic direction, we're now starting to see the back end work that actually needs to happen to achieve that. So we talk about how long we talk about cloud, how long we talk about this different AI stuff, these things that are a lot harder to do in reality instead of just putting them on a slide and saying, oh, this is where we're going to go, this is what we want to achieve. The grunt work, the labor, the blocking and tackling to achieve some of those goals. I've seen a lot of companies that are really tackling it, digging in to tackle that alongside of their health system partners. But to me, that's fascinating.
Well, I'm gonna play off of that a little bit because I think people have gotten the message, which is, hey, slideware doesn't cut it. And I'm going from booth to booth, and there used to be this AI washing. People just say AI. Now there's a screen. And they actually log in and say, okay, look, here's what generative AI, here's how we approach generative AI. I was just in the Dr. First booth and I was talking to them about it. And they have a demo of their MedRec. And their MedRec is using Gen AI and some of the large language models. And it's taking all this information that comes in from the pharmacies. And what used to happen is essentially you would click on that box, one tablet, this many, this time, this amount of every, take it every 10 days and applied transdermal, whatever it happens to be. And now with generative AI, it takes that record, it auto-populates that box, and it's that autopilot kind of thing where it's not replacing the clinician, it's taking a bunch of work out of
there. And hands it off to the clinician and says, can you double check
that
work?
What do you think? And they go, yep, that's right, that's right. And I was talking to Stacey Johnson, she happened to be there, Baptist Jacksonville, and they just did their Epic implementation. She goes, hey, 7 months, this has been live for us. It has saved 7 million clicks.
Wow. Yeah.
That's a real world application where I think the clinicians may not know that's actually what's happening in the background, but they're feeling it.
Yeah. And more hours. I mean, burnout is a serious, hardcore problem for not just clinicians, but all the operations folks too. And so anything that can be created to make their life easier and ultimately for the clinicians get more time with patients and families is gonna be a good thing.
Well, it's a good example, right? It's something that they've talked about strategically. Most health systems all have a plan or some ideas and their vision of, we wanna make it better for our providers. We wanna make their work life easier. We wanna do all these things, right? Quadruple aim stuff. Now, this is the hard work of getting into the daily tasks that they have to do, the blocking and tackling of making their life actually easier.
In the ever-evolving world of health IT, staying updated isn't just an option, it's essential. Welcome to This Week Health, your daily dose of news, podcasts, and expert commentary designed specifically for healthcare professionals like yourself. Discover the future of health IT news with This Week Health. Our new news aggregation process brings you the most relevant handpicked stories from the world of health IT, curated by experts, summarized for clarity, and delivered directly to you. No more sifting through irrelevant news, just pure, focused content to keep you informed and ahead. Don't be left behind. Start your day with insight at the intersection of technology and healthcare. This Week Health, where information inspires innovation.
This question I'm going to start with you from a marketing perspective. We've walked around this, and we'll walk around Hims, and I'm sure we'll do another show when we're down at Hims. What makes a good booth? Like when you think of the booths that you've seen, what makes a good booth? What makes it effective? What makes people want to stop in and have a conversation?
It all comes down to how you communicate. We were walking with one of our colleagues on the floor the other day, and she asked, hey, can you tell what they do just by looking at their booth? And I said, no, it depends on how they communicate. What is their message? Just having your name on a booth, that's not enough. You have to be able to clearly and succinctly state, here's the problem we're solving. This is a great action statement for us. And so to me, that's what I look for in a boot is, can it clearly communicate to someone?
All right. The gimmicky kind of stuff. So actually one of our partners has cookies.
Mm. I ate my fair share of them.
It's a fairly frequented booth because they were like bringing them in. They were warm. They were good. I mean, does that stuff work?
They get a lot of people to your booth for sure. But through the conversations that you actually get to have, you get the flybys. I want a cookie. I have a warm cookie in an afternoon.
Oh, cool. Can I scan your batch?
Yeah.
As part of that,
absolutely.
That person may or may not be somebody who actually is a potential customer.
Don't you want leads at the top of the funnel that are leads? I mean, we might walk by. I don't know about you, but I still get those emails like, hey, Bill, are you looking for medication reconciliation? I'm like, do you have any idea what I do now? I've been scanned at a number of booths, and eventually I'll get those emails.
Yeah, this show is a numbers game. All these big shows like this, they're how many people can we put in the top of our funnel? And
so you just
hopefully eventually you get down into the place.
So you have to have a good process once you get that top of funnel to get to a sales qualified lead versus.
And those that are doing it are going to be able to scrub out folks like myself. I am not a target customer or prospect for any of these companies that are out here on the floor. So scrub me out. You don't have to email me, but you want to find the one or two people that came by that you can start messaging and communicating with in a clear way.
But that sorting takes a lot of time, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it is a needle in a haystack that you're kind of looking at.
What I'd rather see is them demonstrate their product and create interest. And there's a booth here. Is it indoor?
Yeah, indoor, yeah.
And they have a nurse standing on the corner, and it's sort of blocked off from the rest of the booth. And she's just standing there in front of a camera and that kind of stuff. And you want to talk to her. She's standing there at the corner by herself, dressed up. And you're just like, what's your job? What are you doing? And then she gets to say, actually, I'm doing virtual nursing. And on the other side, you can see virtual nursing, whatever.
Yeah.
And so you're not stopping in for a cookie. You're stopping in to say, okay, I want to see what this virtual nursing looks like. And you go around the corner. That feels to me like you may not be getting as many leads, but you're getting more qualified.
Well, you're clearly communicating what it is that you're tackling with that demonstration. Obviously, virtual provider interactions, clear, understandable. It's hard to do that with like a SaaS platform or something a little bit more nebulous on a technology stack perspective. That's big, blocky cameras or people. You can show it up clearly. Where, a nice looking booth, important. Good branding, very important. But is what you're saying in your booth, is the message you can walk by and you have about 3 seconds to understand it.
Donald Miller's thing is the grunt test, right? You should be able to point at a booth and say, they do. That's what they do.
Yeah.
Just point at it.
Yeah.
Seriously, it should be that simple.
Yeah.
And a website should be the same thing. And you'd be surprised how many websites you look at and you go, all right, I'm going to have to keep scrolling down to figure out what the heck
sure
do. I will tell you one of the things that was effective. One of the small booths, and there was a lot of small booths here this week. And I don't know, they're like $4,000 a booth, and they're pretty small.
They're like kiosks.
They're kiosks, exactly. But one of them I thought did a really smart thing, and they have these little signs about this big. We're interested in talking to you. We're getting ready to do our series round. And there was a third one. I forget what the third one was, but it was really clear when you walked up. It's like, okay, you want to
talk to- customer? Are you an investor? Are you whatever?
Yeah. I thought that was really effective.
I agree with you on the demonstration side of it too, though. Being able to really easily show off what you're doing, very important. Not making people jump through a lot of hoops. See how you're tackling the problem that you're trying to solve.
The elevator pitch is really hard. For a lot of these companies, the elevator pitch is really hard because they have complicated solutions, or they have solutions that have multiple things on the platform.
Yes.
And so what in 10 words, how do you describe the company? They need help with that kind of stuff.
If I had to do that, walk it into the show floor, I had to be able to quickly say, because people want to know, hey, what do you do?
Yes.
Well, I lead marketing for this. We built for a media and events business, focused on the healthcare technology executive.
Oh, okay.
Hopefully that's clear.
I like it.
Who do you send to an event like this?
So I think because of the Chime connection, I'm probably sending CIOs.
Right.
If this is a good match for them, I'm probably sending directors. And in this one, maybe more of the innovation team.
Here's what I used to do. So the Chime connection, I'm coming.
Yeah.
And plus, I want to see you.
Yeah.
I'm going to connect with my peers.
Right.
I would also bring a bunch of people that I was mentoring or training to be the next generation, because I could walk this floor and mentor them at the same time.
Yeah.
I can introduce them to players, and so they get to meet some really good players. I mean, there's a whole bunch of mentoring things that are just easily happen here. Plus, we could divide and conquer, do a bunch of research.
Yeah. Generally speaking, in these shows, I would come and I would do the things that I needed to do. Top 10 vendors, top 10 partners, have meetings with them. I would bring my number two, number three, number four, my apps person, my infrastructure person, whatever. Give them particular assignments. We have this problem. Go walk the floor and find places where that's the case. And in some of those top 10 meetings, I would bring them in too. And it gives them the opportunity to kind of learn how you interact with these other senior executives at companies and that kind of stuff.
I am going to come back to you.
Sure.
We used to go to the One Conference. We used to go to HIMSS.
Yeah.
It was attached to Chime.
Right.
And we would see everybody.
Yeah.
And we could go from booth to booth and see the executives, even their product development teams, whatever, because they just had to go to one event. Okay, so now Gartner's happening on the same week as Vive. Vive is happening. PIMS is 2 weeks later. Scottsdale Institute is within 30 days of this as well. And I think there's another big one that is there as well. Maybe not as big because it's not top of mind for me.
Yeah.
And we're seeing the CIOs split up.
Yeah.
Well, one of the big values was we were all in the same place. We're definitely losing something. I don't know what the question is. I'd like that there be a place where we're all, there's enough value that we're all coming back together at that one place.
I think it's tough.
Or is that just gone?
People are making decisions about where they go and where they don't go. I mean, that's the other important part of this. The decision process that you're going to go through to say, I'm actively deciding not to go to that, and I'm not going to have FOMO about it because I know I'm going to get more value going to this thing, is a really important process, I think, for health system executives to sort of figure that out. And ultimately, that comes down to, what are you looking for? Are you looking for peer-to-peer connection? Are you looking for peer-to-particular vendor connection at that vendor partner? Is there somebody from that company that you want to make sure is there or there? And maybe I'll go to him because Judy from Epic is going to be there and she's not at this. I don't know if that's the case or not, but that kind of thing is all part of that decision
process. You're going to get the last word here. Okay. We're going to talk about two things. One is, who do you send to this? And then the second question I'm going to come back with is, how hard is this now for the vendor partners that we have all these choices? Because we get to go essentially for free as CIOs, but every one of these, they have to choose, are we going to spend $40,000 and send five people and get the hotel and get food, try to find our clients, and we can't bring our clients together, so are we going to partner with this company? How are we going to, who do you send to the meeting? Let's start with that first.
There's a lot of different people from that partner that have to come to an event like this. You have just like the people that are actually executing the booths and all the stuff that's there. And
they just have to be.
They just have to be there. So you have your event people, you have your field marketing people, you have your marketing leaders. Then you need to have folks that can handle executive level conversations, that have the wherewithal to be able to communicate effectively. And also, depending on the size of your booth, so it doesn't feel like empty and you gotta have people that can navigate and get around the show floor and be at other events. The investment in the show floor space is just a fraction of what the actual investment is for a conference like this. And all the things that happen off campus, if your sales team is doing it right, they're getting clients out for dinner, for drinks, for after hours events, things like that.
Do I have to? Because I've heard people do this, and I've heard it being very effective, but you have to have a really good team. Essentially, and I'm not advocating for this, so don't send me an email, all right?
But I know where you're going with this.
You don't have to get the floor space. You buy a badge. You send your top people. They know people. They connect with them. They take them out for drinks, whatever, and you still have a fairly good set of conversations. Is that a viable strategy?
I think it depends on your company's size. Because, you can absolutely just send people to walk around. It's going to be a little bit more hit or miss.
Right. So if you're VMware and everybody's your client, you know everybody, you're just coming in and making connections. But if you're that little booth in the corner,
be hard to do.
Extremely.
Because, I mean, if you're going to take that booth money and throw a nice
party. But it's also only $4,000 for that
booth. Right, right.
You got to, but you have to get visibility.
Yeah.
So it's different places.
Yeah.
Hard is this for them from a budget standpoint and whatnot? I mean, they have to make decisions and.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, average expenditure, I'm looking at a fairly decent sized booth and number of people to man that is probably at least five or six hotels in LA and that kind of stuff. Okay. You multiply that times here in Orlando, potentially another conference. Yeah. We've now just blown through $150,000 in the first 3 months of our year. I mean, that's pretty hard.
The hope is you get one good contact that leads
to one sale
project that leads to something that's profitable for both sides of the equation.
But the size of the sale does matter.
It does. Yep. It sure does. So, I mean, every marketing team's going to have to look at it and evaluate, what is my average deal size? What's the math between number of top of funnel down into the actual revenue side of the business? What do we have to do to convert those? And what's that process look like? Timeline, time horizon. And then how do we control costs? But it's the thing that happens at these shows. You'll get in for a booth and be like, okay, then we got to design the booth. And all of a sudden, it's like in for a penny, in for a pound. You start to spend the money and you're like, we might as well do
it's
this
like
as
some
well.
Costs. It's, like,
and then, it's not just the booth square footage. It's also, there's a lot that goes into making
that could
these
be the
things.
Worst reason to go to a show. We have a booth. We should go.
It's
Hey, stay tuned because Unhack the podcast is going to be coming in next couple of weeks.
Absolutely. We did the first show with Greg Garcia, the Health Sector Coordinating Council. It was great because we were able to sort of broadcast a little pregame before the announcement about the five-year plan here on the cybersecurity stage. I saw him last night. He was, he's gotten a lot of feedback, really happy about how everything came out. So we're going to do Unhack the podcast and we're going to have more conversations about this, but it's going to be really launching on a regular drumbeat soon.
It's awesome. And then you're going to start a podcast.
I hope so.
With the marketing and these guys.
To be named.
And a date to be named. A brand. The thing about branding. And then we're also going to be launching a live show, which will be interesting. Probably won't do that until May or June.
Right.
Probably June is when we'll start that. We're doing a lot of new things over here with the 229 Project, City Tours, and other things. But it is great to be with you guys. Thank you very much. Samuel,
thank you.
Rex.
Thanks for listening to Newsday. There's a lot happening in our industry, and while Newsday covers interesting stuff, another way to stay informed is by subscribing to our daily insights email, which delivers expertly curated health IT news straight to your inbox. Sign up at thisweekhealth.com/news. Big thanks to our Newsday sponsors and partners, ClearSense, HealthLink Advisors, Order, SureTest, and TauSight. You can learn more about these great partners at thisweekhealth.com/partners. Thanks for listening. That's all for now.